Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
This morning we want to continue with our series, The Winning Formula.
I believe
by the grace of God. You see, the reason why this series might be a deception to you is because the things I speak about this month, even the themes that I use, are nothing new to you. Are all things you've heard before. Are all things you came across before. When I talk about diligence, this is not the first time you hear such a thing. When I talk about faith, this cannot be the first time you hear about faith. When I talk about virtue, if you haven't heard about virtue, you must have at least have heard about the virtuous woman. If I talk about knowledge, you must have heard the scripture that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There is nothing that I'm saying this month that is totally out of the ordinary. These are things you must have heard before. But I want to tell you something. That you've heard something and that you do something are two different things. You must have heard it. You must have come across it before. But as to whether or not you will do it or you are doing it, it's a total different story. And that is where I want to draw your attention on. That's the purpose of repetition. Some of the things you come across as a repetition, it's intentional. Because repetition is the mother of learning. You only learn as you keep hearing. I'm sure you will remember the scripture where Jesus told the disciples, whenever the word of God is sown, Satan comes and steals it. So how will you make sure that the seed remains in your heart? It's through repetition. We have to keep saying things we've said before. Because that's the only way you get to remember them and hopefully to understand them so that Satan cannot steal them from you any longer. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So let's go again. In the series we started, the foundational scripture in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. The Bible says, for if these things be in you and abound, meaning they are not only in you, they are in you a lot. There's a lot of them in you, which in itself it's a study. How much of patience is in me? How much of diligence? You see, you might not be totally lazy, but maybe the diligence is not up to a level that can allow it to get serious results. In my country, we don't use sugar as powder. We use it as blocks. So when you put one block, you've put sugar. But is it enough to affect the water or the tea or the coffee? Sometimes you might need to put another block and another block before you can start having the result you are trying to get. So it is when the Bible says, if this thing be in you, some of them might already be in you, but they might not be at a certain quantity as to allow you to see the result they are promising. So that's why they must abound in you. Each one of them must be at least at either in the middle or going towards 60 or 70% so that it can start having the effect God wants it to have. So that's what abound is, a very important word. So things can be in you, but they are still not changing you because their quality and their quantity is not to the right proportion. Are you listening?
Oh, yes.
Now, if they abound in you, the Bible says, they make you that ye shall neither be barren no, unfruitful. So your job is not to be fruitful, really per se. Your job is to get this thing to abound in you. When they abound in you, they make you to not be barren. So they make you fruitful. When they are in you a lot, you don't need to pray for fruitfulness. You become fruitful. When diligence is plenty, when faith is plenty, when virtue is plenty, when patience is plenty, when brotherly kindness is plenty, this thing will automatically cause you to become fruitful. In fertility, there's something we call the number of sperm counts. You must understand that for you to give, for you to impregnate a woman, you shouldn't just have sperm. They must be at a certain level, like must be at a certain quantity before they can produce the result. If you have a sperm, but the sperm count is too low, do you understand? So you have the liquid, but you don't have, it's not capable of getting another person pregnant. So that's what we're talking about. The thing must abound. It must be a lot. Before, you see, even in, like I'm using the example of fertility, you know, between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, that the husband might produce, but it might not be at the right quantity. So you will still not have a baby. I pray for you this morning that the quantity will multiply. Amen. That you will not be deceiving to say, oh, but I think I'm a diligent person. Oh, me, I'm a faith person. Oh, me, I'm this. But rather ask yourself the question this morning, how much quantity is present currently? Can I increase a bit more? Can I do a bit more with knowledge? Can I do a bit more with temperance? Can I do a bit more here so that I can get better results? That's what you should focus on this morning. Praise the name of Jesus. The Bible says they will not leave you barren nor unfruitful. And that is our goal. Barrenness is a sign of failure. And fruitfulness is a sign of failure. Like you are not getting things done. Things are not working. There's no good results in your life. And any area in your life right now where the results are not good, I want you to know that this winning formula can change those results. Amen. If you are careful enough to apply what you are learning, not just be a hearer of the word and so deceive yourself, but that you become a doer of the word. A doer. Therefore, the winning formula is diligence, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. For the time we have this morning, by the grace of God, we've already covered four of the ingredients that lead to a winning formula. And this morning, we want to cover a few more. Let's look at temperance, for example. Temperance is the personal trait that makes a person live in moderation by avoiding excesses. A personal trait in you that causes you to live in moderation and to avoid excesses. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 25, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. And everyone who competes, Paul was using the illustration of athletes. You know, the Roman Empire used to have Olympics. So he was using things that people understood and people were used to help them understand spiritual virtues or spiritual realities or spiritual principles. So he used athletes to make them understand that, you see, every athlete is trying to win a prize. When they compete either by running or by boxing or by swimming, the purpose is, I want to be number one. Now, he was saying to them, to be number one, meaning to win, to be the winner, you need to be temperate in all things. You cannot be number one in swimming and you are forever sleeping, you are forever eating anything you want to eat, like you are not properly organized, you are not controlled. So to be temperate is to be self-controlled, self-disciplined, self-control, self-discipline. That's temperance. Nobody is controlling you. You are controlling yourself based on where you want to go. Nobody is disciplining you. You are disciplining yourself. No one is policing you. You are policing yourself. Yourself. A man of God once said, we are very good at controlling everybody. But we are not that so good at controlling ourselves. You find people giving others to everybody. But when it comes time for them to do the same thing they are asking others to do, all of a sudden they are unable to do it. Self-control is another word to say temperance. Self-discipline is another word to say be temperate. Be temperate. And you see, the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, you say, I am allowed to do anything. But not everything is good for you.
True.
Not everything is good for you.
True.
You are right when you say, I am allowed to do anything. It's true. You are allowed to jump off the cliff. You are allowed to throw yourself in the fire. You are allowed to do anything. It's your life. You are allowed. But the reason why we don't do those things is because they are not beneficial. There is no benefit. I'm allowed to put my hands in the fire. I mean, I'm an adult by now. I can decide to put my hands in the fire. But the question is, what will I benefit after putting my hands in the fire? It is that understanding that makes me to not put my hands in the fire, even though I know I can do it. So you now, and then it says, you say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Number one, not everything is good for you. Number two, not everything is beneficial. Now, the wisdom of knowing what is beneficial and what is not is what temperance does for you. Temperance helps you select what is not needed and focus on what is needed. So when you start removing what is not needed, you become temperate. You become disciplined. Like you don't just do everything because it's available. You do things because they need to be done, because it's necessary to do them, because it's beneficial to do them. Every place is not good for you. Every friend is not good for you. Every movie on TV. You see, it is, you are allowed to watch any movie. You are allowed. You are allowed. At a certain age, nobody will come and say, parental guidance and all of them, they become irrelevant and unsolvent for you. You are allowed. You are allowed to watch TV all day. You are allowed to watch horror movies. You are allowed to watch pornography. You are allowed. I mean, it's there. Why am I saying that? Because it's available to you. You have access to it. There was a time in your life you didn't have access. Now you have access. Some of you have jobs, so you can make money for yourself. You can get data. You have a phone, smartphone. So normally, a lot of things have become allowed. And when so many things become allowed like that, that you now need to have temperance so as to know what is good for me and what is beneficial for me and what is not. This is the cause of a lot of inactivity and a lack of success in so many people's lives because they are not temperate. Now they have money, so they want to eat everything that is available because I have money. Now they have data, so they want to watch anything. They are on the phone the whole time because it's allowed. So you need another force to now come and discipline you if you will reach that goal you want to reach, because otherwise you will be a casualty on the way. You'll be a casualty on the way. God forbid.
Amen.
To be temperate is to accept privileges only at the right time. You don't accept privileges because they are available. You accept privileges because the right time has come to accept them. Meaning they can be available, but if the time is not right, I don't take it. From the moment you start dating, the lady is available. You've already won her heart. You've already won his heart. They are available. So if you are not temperate, listen, what will happen is you will start eating what you are not supposed to eat. And you will be saying to yourself, but what is the problem? It's mine. It is yours, but by virtue of principle, the time is not right yet to have it. And if you can start having it now, it means you are a victim of low self-discipline or lack of self-discipline. And that thing will cause you serious problems in other areas. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 17, the Bible says, blessed are you, O land, when your king is a son of the nobles, and your princes feast at the proper time. Your princes feast at the proper time. There is a time called the proper time for feasting. I mean, these things that I see in our communities where every day is a feast. Every night people are drinking and spending. I mean, you see, the land cannot be blessed. The land cannot prosper. I mean, that family where you are part of, that ministry you are a part of, if you are forever feasting and you are not rewarding yourself at the proper time, the ministry will not be blessed. The family will not be blessed. The community cannot be blessed. But the Bible says, blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of the noble. And what is the son of the noble? Somebody who feasts only at the proper time. Goes on to say, he feasts for strength, not for drunkenness. He feasts for strength, not for drunkenness. I rage for strength, not for moral decay. I watch for strength, not for moral destruction. I eat for strength, not to destroy my spirituality by excessive eating. Blessed are you when your prince do things at the proper time, and they do those things for strength, to gain strength, not to become drunk. Not to become drunk. Not to become a glutton. Not to become a fornicator. What are you doing the things for? You see, this force called temperance wants to enter your life. Amen. To help you to control yourself. A temperate person is a frugal person. Wow. Frugal means you are not wasteful. You are not wasteful. Proverbs 25 verse 16. Have you found honey? Eat only what you need. That you not have it in excess and vomit it. Have you found honey? Eat only what you need. You see, you're going to need discipline to find something as sweet as honey. And to only take the portion you need today. If you want to understand what I'm saying, take a box of chocolate, give a child, and say to the child, eat only what you need. The child doesn't understand what you're talking about. The child eats it as much as it is available. And many children have ended up in the hospital because they overate something. Now they are vomiting. Just the way he's saying it here, don't eat in excess, lest you start vomiting. Lest you start vomiting. Meaning, just because there's money doesn't mean spend it. Just because there are sisters in the church doesn't mean sleep with them. Just because DSTV now has all the channels doesn't mean watch all of them. No. Then you are not understanding. Then you are lacking temperance. And God is sending that force in your life today to help you harness your strength so that you are not wasted. A lot of mighty warriors are being wasted because their strength is unequally proportionately dispatched. What is supposed to be kept is used in the wrong place. And the land is not blessed. So let's trust God this morning by His Spirit that you and I will become temperate. Temperate, 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 temperate. Avoid excesses. Avoid excesses. Be self-controlled. Every successful person you see at the top has controlled themselves to not do certain things. There's a reality in our continent. As soon as somebody is sworn in an office, you see, when you are sworn in an office, if you are temperate, the time will come. Do you understand? To eat. But if you are not temperate, as soon as you arrive in the office, you will say, oh, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. I better start eating now. The money that was supposed to go to the road, you are sending it to your foundation. The money that was supposed to go and do the street light, you are sending it to do your ceiling. Because you want to eat now. You want to eat now. You are not patient. And you are not temperate. We want to talk about patience just now. But similar. You are not temperate. As soon as you arrive somewhere, you are already looking for the opportunities. Okay, what do I get from this? What is here for me? No, look. Sometimes when you are somewhere, the first thought must not be, what is in it for me? Be temperate. Wait a bit. You will see that with time, at the proper time, you will have the thing and it will not affect the system. But when you have it at the wrong time, it affects the system and yourself that took it will suffer. Your family will suffer. Everybody end up suffering. Because you went before the time. So as you can see, it's ushering us to the next one. They work together. Add to temperance, patience. Proverbs 16 verse 32. The Bible says, better a patient person than a warrior. One with self-control. You see, patience and temperance, basically, they're the same. One of self-control, better than one who takes a city. A person who can control themselves in patience is better, according to the word of God, than a person who is taking an... This is like Vladimir Putin is trying to take Ukraine. The Bible says, a person that knows how to be patient and wait for the right time, we take that same city without a lot of casualty. You are moving around, killing yourself, killing so many people, destroying everything. It's a sign. Impatience. So much damage. I mean, let's look at Ukraine. Look at how the whole country has become. Do you really mean to say this is what you wanted to do? And if you are a bit patient, things could have turned and the whole nation was going to come and stand at your feet and say, you know what, come and help us. Come and help us. What is patience? Patience is the ability to tolerate delays and difficulties without complaining. Patience is the ability to tolerate delays and difficulties without complaining. That's my own definition. Now, let me give you Josmaya's approach. Josmaya says, patience is not the ability to wait, but the ability to keep a good attitude while waiting. Because there's a lot of people that wait with a wrong attitude. As we're going to see just now. She says, the ability, patience is not just, no, I know how to wait. No. You are not patient because you wait. You are patient because you have the right and the good attitude while you are waiting. While you are waiting, your attitude is right. While you are eating, your mind is right. While you are waiting, you're thinking well. You're thinking well. You can be there saying you are waiting, but the way your heart is, the way your heart is, the way your mind is, God can see you are not a patient person. You are not a patient person. And I want to take you through some outward reflections of people who are waiting with a wrong attitude. When people are waiting and the attitude is not right, quickly, certain things start coming. And it makes them to be impatient. Yeah. So what makes people impatient, actually? What causes you to not wait with the right attitude? What makes you to not wait? Because so many things in this life, you're going to have to wait. Your mother had to wait for 9 months to see you. Then she had to wait for another year or two before you can crawl. Then she had to wait for another few years before you can say, Baba. So in life, waiting is a part of life. Like, you cannot succeed in life if you don't know how to wait. There's nothing you can achieve in life if you don't know how to wait. God said in the book of Genesis, he will send a seed that will crush the head of the serpent. Then 4,000 years had to pass until the seed can arrive. The Bible says, in the fullness of time. In the fullness. There's something called the fullness of time. You might be on time, but the time might not be full. The fullness of time. God let so many people die from Genesis to Malachi. Do you know how many people died? But they didn't bash God. The time was not right. If God himself has to wait, like he has to wait for the fullness of time before he can do what he wants to do. Even though it is something very important and there are so many people dying, but God is still not doing it because the time is not right. Then the sun arrives. After the sun arrives, God has to wait for another 30 years. Even God waits. Even God waits. So I'm trying to say to you, you cannot be a winner if you don't learn how to wait. You can't. You can't. So why don't we wait? Number one, we feel we are ready. That's why you don't want to wait. Because you think you are ready. Hey, you think I'm ready. I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to marry. I'm ready to go. We think we are ready. Don't we? That's why you don't want to wait. Because the question is, when was I wait if I'm ready? You think you are ready. I'm not saying you are ready. I'm saying you think you are ready. That's exactly what happened to the prodigal son. Luke 15 verse 12. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. You see, you're supposed to get it normally in time if you can wait for me to die first. But you are not willing to wait for me to die before you can have it. So you want to have it now. So which means you feel you are ready for it. You are ready to have it. You don't need to wait for anything else to happen. You are ready. So he went and told the father, I want it now. I'm ready. Give it to me. So his father agreed. I mean, sometimes what can we do? When you are forcing and having a bad attitude in the house because somebody doesn't want to support your beloved that you have brought. So what can we do? We have to flow. We have to flow. So the father agreed, even though the father knew it's wrong. So just because somebody has agreed, just because your father, your pastor has said yes, doesn't mean that's the right thing to do. Because some of you will not say no. Even pastor agreed. Even pastor is supporting it. The father agreed here, but that didn't still make the young man right. And that didn't still make it right. Even though the father agreed to divide his wealth between the two sons. Fast forwarding, we know what happened to the young boy. He saw himself. He made a boo-boo of himself. He was not ready. How do we know he was not ready? In the book of Luke 15, verse 17, the Bible says, when he finally came to his senses. So he thought, as I said, you think you are ready. Now, when he came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here am I dying of hunger. I will go to my father. You see, that's the same place he left. I don't know how many years ago. Thinking he was ready to go. Thinking everything was ready for him. But he's going back to that place. You see, whatever you were not ready to leave yet, no matter how many years you go wandering around, you will never be right until you go back. And because when you jump off a class, you can go and do whatever you want to do. As far as the institution is concerned, you jump off at gate 3. Go and become a 44-year-old man. By the time you return, your file of grade 3 is still waiting for you. You have to pick it from grade 3. And that is what is dangerous about going ahead of yourself. Because many times you don't have the humility to come back.
So your whole life gets wasted. You never achieve anything because you feel so proud to come back home and pick it where you left it. This is why Satan uses impatience, because he knows once it gets you twisted, you will yourself come to your senses and realize, no, I think I made a mistake. I was not supposed to have left. I was not supposed to have done this. That was not the time. But you will not have the humility to go back and correct your steps. So his pride in you will keep you on the wrong path. And you will say, I think it's too late. But I came to tell you this morning, it's never too late to correct yourself. It's never too late to come back and say, I made a mistake. Pastor, I was wrong. Many of you are into journeys. You know in your heart it's wrong. You know in your heart you went too much quickly ahead. But you can't accept it and admit, I made a mistake. Thank God for this young man. He says, I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and you. Why did I sin against you? Because it was an insult that I came to my father and said to my father, you don't want to die, isn't it? So let me take what I need to take, what I was supposed to take when you will die. It's a sin. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me as a hired servant. That's another big lesson. Sometimes when you miss your timing, when you return, you will not go back to what you were. You get demoted. You get demoted. In fact, that is what happens. That's why people don't want to come back, because they know it will be a demotion. They know they will never get it back. So as I'm teaching this morning, this is a life and death matter that I'm presenting to you this morning. That patience can save your whole life, and impatience can destroy your entire destiny. If you cannot wait for the right time. And while he was still, so the Bible says, so he returned home to his father. He didn't just think it, he did it. This is why the story of the prodigal son is so profound, that you can mess up so bad, but you can still correct your steps. He didn't just say, no, I think I want to go. Telling everybody, no, you know, I think it will be good for me to go home. He actually went home. He faced all that shame. This is what Judas couldn't do. Judas couldn't face the other disciples and say, you know what? Ash, I messed up. Don't you think that Jesus was going to come and say, Judas, I forgive you? But Judas wouldn't face this. Judas went for 30 pieces of silver. And later the disciples ended up having all that they needed. What is 30 pieces of silver? Judas, a man who fed 5,000 people cannot give you 30 pieces of silver. You really think so? You are impatient. You are just impatient. You can't wait for the proper time. We think we are ready. Number two, we feel things are taking too long to happen. Things are taking too long. If those are your thoughts this morning, I'm telling you, you are being attacked by the spirit of impatience. Things are taking too long to happen. How long must I wait before I can see this? How long must I wait before this one can happen? How long must I wait? You feel things are taking too long to happen. I heard the story of a man who had a chicken. And that chicken used to lay eggs for him. One morning, he came to check if the chicken had laid some eggs. And to his greatest amazement, he saw an egg in the chicken nest. It was not an ordinary egg. It was a golden egg. So the man thought to himself, people are trying to play trick with me. Maybe somebody took one of the eggs and sprayed gold on it. But when he came to take the egg was heavy. He said, could it be that this is actually gold? He took it to the goldsmith, the people that are dealing with gold. And they checked it, and it was pure gold. He was amazed. Where did this egg come from? And it gets even more interesting. The next day, he went back. The chicken was there. He moved the chicken, and as soon as the chicken moved, there was another golden egg. So that, my God, I've hit the jackpot. My chicken is producing golden eggs. He took that one again to the goldsmith. They started selling these eggs, making so much money.
Next day, another golden egg. Next day, another golden egg. Wow. Man, he felt this is amazing. Then he now had a big idea of something great he wants to do. And he went and got the plane. He said, no, this is going to cost this much for us to build this factory and all of this. Then he calculated how much one golden egg gets him when he sells one. And he realized, if I have to wait for this chicken to keep pouring one egg every day, it would take me more than 50 to 60 years before I can have the whole amount of money I need to solve this problem. So he had a very powerful idea. He said, I know what I'm going to do. I need to kill the chicken, cut it open, and get all the golden eggs that are inside, all of them at once. Then my problem will be solved. So the next day, guess what? He went, took his chicken, killed the chicken, opened the chicken, lo and behold, nothing inside. Nothing inside the chicken. Nothing inside the chicken. Now he has lost the chicken, and he has lost all the eggs that the chicken was supposed to produce. Because he felt things were taking too long to happen. It's taking too long. When you feel things are taking too long, you want to take the matters in your own hands. And that sets you on a journey of impatience. And you start killing chickens. Some of you have killed a few chickens already. And you've opened, nothing inside. Then you don't know how long it will take before you can have another golden chicken like that. Why are we impatient? We feel God is too slow. God is too slow. 2 Peter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slow. I think it will be clearer than that. All of you that feel, no, God is too slow. I have to wait. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. The Lord is not slow. He is patient with you. Not wanting anyone to perish. So, impatient people end up perishing all the time. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance, to change their mind about what they were trying to do. The Lord is not slow. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. God is not slow. Everything is always beautiful when you allow God to do it at the right time. You will see that it is sweatless, stress-free. You enjoy it. Why are we not able to wait? Number 4. We compare ourselves with others. That pressure you are getting, that is now getting you to feel like your things are not moving fast. Are you really sure that it's because of really things are not moving fast, or because you saw somebody else's things moving so fast and all of the sudden you feel yours are too slow? There's no slow car. Your car is only slow in comparison to another car. When you get overtaken 3 times, then you start to say, hey, man, what am I driving? Is this still a car? What is going on? But if you were just alone on the road and there was no other car, I don't think you're going to feel your car is that slow. You're going to be enjoying yourself. When these Lamborghinis and these Ferraris are moving, all of a sudden you start also wanting to press. Boop. Before you know it, exhauster, boom. The bonnet, boop. Smoke all over the place. Psalm 37 verse 7. But be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways. Do not fret. Do not be shaken. Be still. Wait patiently. When you see other people succeeding, relax. Thank God for them. It's not your time. It's not your time. It's not your time. Number 5, why don't we become patient? Because when we come across a shortcut, you could be very well going nicely until you see a shortcut. You are patiently saving to until a scheme came. MMM. Bitcoin. Forex trading. Something else has come. That is a shortcut to success. Like it's coming to say, no, you don't need to wait. I mean, that's the story of the golden egg guy. Like, you don't need to wait for so long, I mean, every month. There's a quicker way. We thank God for shortcuts. But shortcuts are only shortcuts when they are ordained by God. If a shortcut is not from God, it will cut your own life short. But like by the time the shortcut has worked, it has cut your life short. I want you to understand how Jesus dealt with a shortcut. Because he came to do something and he was offered a shortcut to go quickly and solve it. He was offered a shortcut. We are always offered shortcuts. Always. When you are trying to get married, one of the things you are trying to achieve is sexual fulfillment. That's one of the major things. Don't lie here that you are saying, I'm looking for. Please. You are deceived. The main thing you are pursuing there is some sexualization. That's the reality of it. Don't try to make it spiritual. Even God said it, so there's nothing wrong. But the problem is, the journey is you have to meet the parents, and you have to have so many meetings, and then you have to now, they come with this long list of lobola, and then you now have to go, all of that for some small fulfillment for 5 minutes. Then you say to yourself, no. What is this? I can just make a little turn here by the street and I sort myself out with less than a quarter of what you're asking me to pay all this list. It's a shortcut. It's a shortcut to the same result. But a shortcut can become a very long cut if you are not careful. Matthew 4, 8 to 10. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All these I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship. Jesus came to save the world. Satan says, I will give you the world. I give you everything. I mean, you don't need to die on the cross. You don't need to go of this. I just give you everybody. All the kingdoms of the world. Jesus is the savior of the world. And Jesus came to save the kingdoms of the world. And Satan says, I will give you the kingdoms of the world. I'll give them to you. You don't need to die. You don't need to be beaten. It's a shortcut into your purpose. This is a shortcut into your sexual fulfillment. This is a shortcut into your business. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. I pray that you and I will become like Jesus. That you will reject the shortcut and choose the long process. There's nothing like a shortcut. Let me tell you the truth. Except if it is ordained by God. If it is ordained by God. And there's usually a reason why God, because you have already suffered so much, so God can bring a shortcut. Like the man who was, in that situation for 45 years or 48 years, Jesus, God needed to bring a shortcut to save him because the man was going to die there. The man was going to die there. But there are no shortcuts. Be patient. Bishop Oedipo said something, Professor, be patient or you might end up a patient in a hospital. So you need to choose which one you want. Either you will be patient or you will be a patient. Ask your neighbor, are you going to be patient or are you going to be a patient? You have to choose one. You have to choose one. Because all the people that don't become patient, they always end up becoming patient of mental institution, patient of emotional crackdown, patient of this all the time, counseling and this and that, patient of financial collapse. 7 reasons why you must be patient. Number 1, be patient because it takes years before you can know enough. It takes years before you can know enough. Understand all your decisions are based on how much you know.
Yes, sir.
You know, you do based on what you know. Now, it takes years to know enough to make a better decision. It takes years. It takes years. Isaiah 7 verse 15 to 16. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject wrong and choose the right. When he knows enough. When he knows enough. You must always ask yourself the question. Before I'm doing this, do I know enough? As I'm about to now start a business of sweets, do I know enough on the business of sweets? You will spend a lot of money if you could just assess yourself and ask, do I know enough? As I'm about to enter full-time ministry, do I know enough? As I'm about to get married, do I know enough? He will eat honey. Why? Because he knows enough. He knows enough. People who don't know enough will eat sand. He knows enough. That is another tool that we used last week. Knowledge. 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 Do you know enough on the subject before you preach it? Oh, no, no. God spoke to me. Like, hey, that God spoke doesn't mean now start. Do you know enough? Do you know enough? Do you know enough? You want to start a bakery. Do you know enough on baking? I know you know, but is it enough? You see, that's the, it must be in you, but it must abound. Do you know enough? I pray for you that you will desire to know enough. 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 Number two, be patient because it takes many years before a vision can become a reality. It takes many years. Many things you are celebrating today took years in the making. Years. Years in the making. You must look at President Joe Biden. Before he became president today, you must read his story. The suffering. The time he had to wait to get there. Takes years. Habakkuk 2 verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Anything God shows you has a timing frame and a timing line to it. That God showed it to you doesn't mean it's going to happen now. I think that is where the charismatic have gotten it wrong. Now, God showed me, I'm into full-time ministry. God showed me I must go and start a church. God showed me I must. Listen, that God showed you doesn't mean it must happen now. God told Eve, your sin will crash. But it took 4,000 years before you could see it. There is always an appointed time for every vision. An appointed time. Vision what? Is what? What you are seeing. What you keep seeing in your mind. What you keep feeling. No, this can happen. Oh, I can see God. That thing, there is a time for it. And that time is not every day. That time is not every day. But at the end, the Bible says, it will speak at the end. At the end. Not at the beginning. At the end. And it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Wait. Because it will surely come to pass. It will not tarry. Wait. Be patient, number three, because it takes time for people and circumstances to change. It takes time. Took many, 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 many plagues before Pharaoh's heart could change. You cannot say, oh, I've hit the first plague, it didn't change, Lord, so I think. No, it takes time for circumstances to change, for people to change. That's why you have to be patient. The same lady that is saying no today can say yes tomorrow, if you are patient. Because with time, people change. With time, circumstances change. And something that was not favorable to you end up becoming favorable to you because you waited. Because you waited. You waited and things changed. And then now they are favorable to you. And that's why you guys, every time things are worked up in the company where you are, I'm resigning. Meanwhile, in the process of time, the person that is giving you fire now, he's going to be fired in 3 months' time. Did you hear me? The person who is giving you fire now will be fired in 3 months' time. If you could just hold on the fire. 3 months is gone. And then who knows? You replace him. You replace him. Patience. It takes time for people to change. It takes time for circumstances to change. That you are a believer doesn't change these principles. Because you've been a believer, but the child didn't grow up in 2 months because you are a believer. Even though you are a believer, the child took 9 months. I don't know why now, all of a sudden, because I'm a believer. Why? Because you are a believer. Have you planted the corn and then the next day or the same minute it started coming out? Even though you are a believer, the corn still goes through its process. So it is the same thing with everything else. Even though you believe. Now, believe that God is working on it, even if you don't see. That's what God wants you to do. God wants you to believe that something is happening, even if you don't see it. Not to say, no, I'm a believer. Things will change now. This is the generation we're having today. Microwave generation. Instant generation. Instant pap. Instant fried rice. Instant everything. You cannot wait. The drive-through generation. The first drive-through was too small. Fly-through. Drive-through was also too slow. There's the fly-through. With this guy, Chicken Licken, he really flew. Because I don't know what has happened to Chicken Licken. He really flew through. He really flew through. The drive-through guys are still there. But you see a Chicken Licken operating, you have to fly through. Indeed. Number 4. Be patient because it takes time for prayers to be answered. It takes time. It takes time. Very rarely do you get the prayer answered now. Psalm 40 verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined into me. He heard my cry. I waited patiently. And after waiting for a while, God heard my cry. When you are praying and you don't say anything, don't think nothing is happening. It takes time for prayers to be answered. So you have to be patient. You have to be patient. Be patient. Things will change. Amen. Number 5. Be patient because it takes time for things to grow and develop. Things don't grow overnight. And most of us are involved in things that require growth, not swelling, growing. It takes anything that will grow will require time and patience. Be patient. Mark 4:26-28. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scattered seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First, the stalk, then the head, and then the full kernel of the head. First, the stalk. Then, the head. And the full... You see, it takes time for things to grow. Even the grain that must come doesn't just come. There's a process that it goes through. So the church will go through processes before it grows. A basanta will go through processes before it grows. A cell will go through processes before it grows. It takes time for things to grow. I'm ending my preaching. Number 6. Be patient because things usually become nicer and easier at the end. They become nicer and easier at the end. I'll give you the illustration of fishermen that have their boats at the seashore by the sand. When they are getting ready to go to fish, the first job they need to do, they have to push the boat inside the water. But at that time, the boats are on sand. So when they start pushing, it's very hard. Because the boats are on sand, and you are pushing boat from sand. But if they keep pushing, the boat will start touching water. And the moment the boat starts touching water, it starts getting a bit easier. By the time the whole boat is inside the water, even a baby can push it. Even a baby can push it. Things usually get easier at the end if you are patient. When you see powerful ministries today, that the pastor just says one way things are happening. He just called one amount of money and 10,000 people are ready to give it to him. Do you think it just happened overnight? Things that happen like that is witchcraft. Normally, it will take time before you can raise people who can generate such amount of money. It takes time. It takes years. So the glory is never at the beginning. The Bible says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Here it is, verse 30. Those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. The glory is at the end. The glory is at the end. Don't stop at the justification. Don't stop at the call. Don't stop at the predestination. Push it to the glorification. Because there's a joyful moment ahead of you if you are patient in the process. Lastly, be patient because it takes time for God's word to be fulfilled. That God has spoken doesn't mean it will happen now. It takes time. It takes time. The word must become flesh. And the word doesn't become flesh overnight. It's a process. It's a process. Revelation 3 verse 10, our last scripture for the day, of second last. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Thou hast kept the word of my patience. Every word God speaks is a word of his patience. A word of his patience. It means the word will require patience to be fulfilled. The word of my patience. The word of my patience. You have kept. You were not tired of that word. You've kept it. The word of my patience. I see you becoming an expert in patience. I'm giving you enough reasons so that you are encouraged. Because life is about waiting. You wait for a lot of things. You wait to graduate. You wait to reach to a grade 12. Then you wait to admit. Then you wait to for the result of matric. Then you wait to see if you pass matric. Then you wait to see which university are choosing you. Then you wait to see who will give you the bursary. Then you wait for the day the school starts. Then you'll be waiting for the teachers in the class. Then you'll be you wait. It's about waiting. So you need enough reasons to learn how to wait. The word of God's patience tested Abraham. 25 years in the waiting. Joseph, 13 years in waiting. Moses, 25 years in waiting. Some even believe it was 40. Jesus, 30 years in waiting. The word of my patience. The word of my patience. I believe God has spoken to you. I know. God gave you a word. God gave you a dream. God gave you a revelation. Maybe God gave you a prophecy. Never forget, that is the word of his patience. The word of my patience. You have to be very patient with that word. And if you are, what happened to the people of Hebrews 6:12 will happen to you. We do not want you to be lazy, but be imitators of those who through faith and patience obtain the promises. The word of my patience, combined with your faith, will bring the result. Therefore, this morning, may all foolishness leading to foolish haste, rushing into things before the time and ending in the fire. Jumping off the boat before the time. Even Peter said, is that you? Must I come? He didn't just jump, say, hey, this is Jesus. I know the tape. Listen to yourself. Before you realize you are lunch for sharks, before you realize you are breakfast, Peter had enough sense to say, hey, before I jump, is that you? Okay, if it is you, tell me I must come. Tell me to come to you. Many of you don't wait to even make sure, is that God? If it is God, God, say something first before I... No, you are already running. The Lord said, I didn't send this prophet, yet they are running. I didn't send them, yet they are prophesying. I didn't speak to them. You're not even waiting to say, like Peter said, is that you? I want to be sure first. A lot of you don't want to be sure at all. Oh, why must I be sure? I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. Why must I be sure? I know what to do. Are you sure? Are you sure? That's why people end up like Jonah, lunch. I think Peter heard the story of Jonah and said, no, I don't want to be again another lunch now for some sharks. The mercy God had on Jonah, he might not have it on me. If this is a demon spirit, then I'm finished. Let me first establish. Let me hear the voice. And then Peter knew the voice of Jesus. So, is that you? Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. If it's you, I know it's you. Tell me to come. And the other one remained patiently in the boat. They didn't say no. Peter has jumped. Let's all go. Oh. They remained there patiently. Are you listening to me? So let's trust God that foolishness, because this message is addressing foolishness, foolish decisions, foolish attitudes that cause you to not wait with the right spirit. You are just there. You can't wait for the first opportunity to jump off the boat. You can't wait for the first opportunity to start your own thing. Are you sure you are ready as you think you are? May God help you today. May God help all of us to carry the word of my patience till the very end. Why don't you lift your hands and pray for mercy? And the spirit of patience, which is one of the fruit of the spirit. One of them. That one of the job God wants to do in you is to make you a patient person. The Holy Ghost wants to make you patient. That's one of his things. He wants you to become patient. Oh, let's pray this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We are made by your word. We are established by your word. We are transformed by your word. Father, I pray that this message will be a blessing to people everywhere in this world, that the spirit of patience will enter us now. We'll become patient. We'll become patient with you, patient with others, patient with circumstances, knowing that God is working them through for ourselves. Thank you, Lord, that the spirit of patience is entering us now. We'll not be as rude as we are, as heartless as we are. We will understand it takes time for people to change. It takes time for circumstances to change. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for that grace. Thank you for helping us this morning. Oh, come on, open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray from the depths of your heart. Lord, make me a patient person. Lord, give me the spirit of patience, that I will not rush myself into destruction, that I will learn to wait for the right opportunities. In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. Right now, I want to pray for you. Why don't you lift your hands? You see, you want to give your life to Jesus? You want to be born again? I want to lead you in a prayer to help you. You've heard the word of God. The Bible says the prodigal son, when he came back to his senses, maybe the word this morning has brought you back to your senses. I have a feeling in my spirit, a lot of you are struggling, not because Satan is fighting you. You went before the time. And when you go before the time, even time will fight you. Everything will fight you. Yeah. The elder son incurred no losses, except that his heart got spoiled when he came home. But even that, it was sorted. But the younger son, he lost everything. The father told the elder son, all I have belongs to you. It means even as this guy has come back, he's getting nothing. Okay, even himself you will have. Even him you will have, because he is mine. So all I have is yours. I pray for you that the last loss you incur will be the very last one. Amen. That you will not continue incurring losses because of impatience. Amen. This morning, let's pray for you. You are saying, Pastor, I want to be born again. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want Jesus to enter my heart. I'd like to pray with you. At the count of three, humbly raise your right hand to the heavens so I can lead you in a prayer of commitment to God. 1, 2, 3. You can raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, you're already born again, but this morning, you feel like you became so impatient with the church, impatient with your pastor, impatient with time. You went ahead and made a lot of mistakes. This morning, you want to come back to salvation. You want to come back to God. I want to pray with you. At the count of three, you can raise your right hand also. I pray with you for recommitment back to God. 1, 2, 3. Raise your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. All right. Let us pray together. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus,
I surrender my heart to you today.
Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.